Women's Shiur, Wednesday afternoon, Shar HaBitachon Chavis Halvavos, Yud Dalet Shvat, Tov Shinayin Dalet. And you're going to pay special attention today, so that'll be what you learn Nishma, so. Okay. So we're learning Chavis Halvavos, Shar HaBitachon, we're in Perek Dalet. We're in a list of seven areas in life with where to apply Bitachon. The first area was basic sustenance. A person lives, and the interesting thing there is that the Chavis Halvavos says two sides of a coin, which seem to be contradictory, but they're very much not contradictory. If you're learning Chavis Halvavos here a while, you know that. On one hand, total trust, total reliance. Hashem's keeping me alive. Hashem will provide me with everything I need to be alive. The flip side is, I have more of a responsibility to do hishtadlus in that area, and that's the channel, and I have to do it. Like Hashem, I must do it. There's no excuse not to do it. I'm committing suicide, he says, if I don't do it, if I don't take care of my health, and b'chulu. The second area gets already a little more sophisticated, so to speak. And that is beyond my basic needs. I want to be wealthy. I want to be comfortable. I want to have a Lexus. I want to have a large house, more than I need. Sometimes a large house is what you need. But I want to have more than I need. Here the Chavis Halvavos says, listen, there is no heter for hishtadlus in this area. You don't intend and say, okay, this is how I'm going to take a second job because I want more money. That's wrong thinking. The Baal Bitachon does not think that way. We're talking about for more than what you need. Not you're not making ends meet and you have chovos, so you have to take a second job because you don't see any other way to meet your chovos, and that becomes part of your obligation of hishtadlus as per number one. If that's the case, maybe you should sit down with Maaznim or Mesila and see if it's taka the case. But, you know, these are organizations that help you budget and they help you pay up your chovos. And, but it's number one. But if it's, I want more money, I want a second job, the Chavis Halvavos says it's wrong, it's foolish, you're wasting your time, v'chulu v'chulu. Now, we explained, it's there's no heter hishtadlus for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will either make you wealthy or he won't. It could be, see, and then we explained, it's more sophisticated than just that. It becomes a question of how I'm spending my time. I can do chesed, a man could learn, I can have time to daven, I can spend more time with my children, etc. Or I can take a second job, or more hours, and earn more money. No, it's wrong. It's foolish, because if you're supposed to have more money, you'll get the more money anyway. And this is wrong to do, right? So you have to look at it objectively. How should I spend my time? It's not a factor. Well, the tzad of the more work is because I want more money. That's wrong. And that skewers the way you're weighing your options. What might be is, as we said, let's say a doctor, or any profession in which you're helping the public, which really is could be any profession, and you know your cheshbon is you want to. There's demands, you know. There's certain jobs where you know if you're competent, so the world is beating a path to your door. You want to help more people, yeah. So then already. Yeah, that might be so that's in itself a valid option, and that might be the channel through which Hashem will give you more money. Because you might get more money because you're working more hours, but it starts with the Gzeiros Hashem. As I said, the foolish person is the person that said, boy, it's a good thing I took a second job because my car broke and I need more money, and this happened and I need more money, and they're looking at it the wrong way. That those things happen because they took a second job, but they're not supposed to have more money. So these things happen. They're mixing up cause and effect. The yesod of the Chavis Halvavos in number two is that the obligation of hishtadlus, the heter of hishtadlus, is only up to basic needs. Again, what are basic needs? not so clear. If I have an employer and I say to him, hey, I'm only coming in 5 hours a day, he'll say, well, then you're fired. You know, or if you have a store and it, you can't close at 2 p.m. Maybe you could, and then you have to, or you should. Unless you say, I want to provide delicious falafels to Beit Shemesh. I got to stay open after 2, because what are all the mothers going to do at 6 o'clock when they don't have supper ready? Like this, they can send their kid out to the falafel store and know that they're getting a nutritious meal. They're getting protein and carbohydrates and whatever. And oil. So, but the sort of number 2 is that. Now, we're really in the middle. Then this really sort of segues a little again, as he often does, and he talks about why people want to be want to have wealth. And you say, "Oh, I could tell you why." I don't know. I don't need the Chayyim Halavos to tell me why. But he has an interesting insight. The Yesh mibnei Adam Kitos she'ena mishtadlim liknos hamamon laharbis momono el laavos hakavod mibnei Adam. The Chabad Chabadis will now teach us something about Kavod. Because of this segue, he teaches us a major important insight and the depth of what it means people want Kavod. And, you know, we say in Pirkei Avos, say, Zehu Mechubet HaMechabed HaSabrios. Like, what does that exactly mean? Like, why is that true? And come to think of it, forget about why it's true. What in the world does that mean? Like, it's just words. What does it mean? So he says, he's going to explain it. And it really has nothing to do with bitachon now. It's sort of a, as I said, a segue, but it's a major yourself. Because he says, because he's talking about people that want more money. And he already said, don't work more in order to get more money. There's no heter for that. And again, I explained, it's a question of options. What are you going to do with your time? But you won't get more money because you worked more. Well, let me correct that. You may, if Hashem decided to channel you the money that way. But if you decide, I'm going to devote myself to a better way of spending my time, you're going to get the more money anyway. Guaranteed. The Rebbe says, if you're supposed to get it, you'll get it. Some people want money because they want kavod, he says. They people flock around them, people are nice to them, all of a sudden people laugh at their jokes, they get the Ali and Shul, you know, everybody all of a sudden giving them respect. Velasus lahem shame, and they like the honor. Vein maspik lahem imenu shum davar, but they don't really need. They don't want anything from the money other than that. They want the kavod. So he says, the zeh sichlus mehem, this is the most foolish thing in the world, the sibus hakavod ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba. It's someone with a very warped idea of kavod. We crave kavod. Every human being craves some sort of recognition from someone. We'll see, because the neshama, one of the neshama's names is Kavod. There is a concept of Kavod which is a good concept, and we'll see in a second what true Kavod means. We'll see. He'll say true Kavod is self-respect. The respect that other people give me is a joke. That's not Kavod. I didn't become a better person because someone stands up for me when I enter a room. That's a joke. If anything, it's a tremendous nisayon, because I could start taking it seriously that they should stand up. So it's a big nisayon. But the kavod other people give you is not, it's fake, it's false. It's what we all think is kavod, but it's not, it's a joke. And guess what? They're really mocking you in their hearts, because you're getting laughed at, and you're getting anything but kavod, as we all know, because we all laugh at those people who want kavod. The Gorim Lohem, what causes this desire? Because they see foolish people, Mashiroimi, Kavod Amehar, Islanshi Hamomon, everybody's foolish. The guy with the money is foolish. He thinks people are giving him respect when they're laughing at him. And anyway, the respect that they're giving him is not true Kavod. It's artificial. It's fake. It's shitchius. It's chisonius. It's not. Again, the true covenant is who you are. Who you are. Whom you are. What you are. What you do it yourself. That's covenant. And the Amiarets are foolish because they'll think they'll hit the guy for a big donation and they'll get money out of him. But again, that's already a bitachon issue. They'll get their money anyway. They don't have to. Now, if the person deserves kavod because he gives tzedakah, then this half of the equation is not true. Meaning, they have an obligation to give respect to someone who supports Torah. So they're, if they don't do it with the motive of, let's give him kavod, so that next year he'll be the guest of honor at our dinner, and we'll get even more money out of him. So they'll get the money they're supposed to get anyway. Most of us are allowed to have bitachon too. That's a very big chiddush, I know. And it's very sad that they don't. They don't act that way many times. But most of us of Torah, of chinuch, of gemilas chasodim, they also have to have bitachon. So if one moset asks another moset for their mailing list, no one will give it. Why not? So if you tell me, because in the normal course of events people don't give tzedakah to two mosdos, so then I hear it's normal hishtadlus, but we all know that that's not true. So why don't you want to give them your list? Why? You don't have bitachon. You think what the other mosdos gets will take away from you. Okay. It's like the shoe store with good customers, right? So a Baal Bitachon will share if he gets a good deal on shoes. Let's say the store's 3 miles away, no question of Asagas Gevul, and he has a good deal on shoes, he finds a good wholesaler, so he'll share it with his competitor who's 3 miles away. That's what he should do if he's a Baal Bitachon. So they see the Am Haaretz giving cover to the wealthy people, ukvodim lahem letikvasim, and they're hoping they get a piece of that pie, a piece of that kavod. Mashiyesh etzlam v'limshoch me'asher biyodom. But really, they're giving kavod because they're trying to get their hands into the guy's pocketbook. They're trying to get their hand into his checkbook, checking account. Now we're talking. If the Am Haaretz, the people who are angling for maybe a job, we're talking about false kavod. They're mocking him in their hearts. If you give real kavod because he's a supporter of Torah, that's okay. But that doesn't mean you have the motivation of getting even more money. Vilu eskilu vehevinu ki ein biyecholtov. If the Am Haaretz would realize, again, this is a bitachon issue, they're not going to get money. Ein biyecholtov lo bekocham lo losais velo lenoa. They're not going to get any more money or any less money or any job. They wouldn't put their bitachon in this person. Right, all the people that gave Sharon kavod because they wanted jobs, so that was evil, and most of them, almost all of them, lost their self-respect and their kavod and their jobs and everything else. V'loho yoroi yetzlam kavod. I just can't stand how everybody's praising him. First of all, he was an apikairis. And it's absolutely usur to praise an apikairis. A Jew. If he was a goy, okay. But if he was a Jew and a total apikairis, so you're not allowed to praise him. You're not allowed to talk nicely of him. You're not allowed to say anything good he did. That's first of all. Second of all, what? He didn't do anything good. And Apikoros doesn't do anything good. Good is you believe in Hashem and you do the Ratzon Hashem. That's good. In our book, I'm sorry, whoever doesn't like it can. An Apikoros doesn't. There's nothing. No such thing as, first of all, it's usher technically to praise an Apikoros. That's first of all. It's usher. Because then you're teaching bad values to people and to your children and to other people when you praise and you look up to and you talk well of a person who's a Rasha, Apikairos I'm talking. I'm not talking about what he did in Gush Katif.
We'll get...
No, there's no good. You're not, first of all, you're not allowed to. If he's an Apikairos, Usur. Usur to praise a Rasha. Totally Usur to praise a Rasha. Not an Apikursus, and he was not a Tinuk Shenishba. A, he was not a Tinuk Shenishba, and B, an Apikursus is no Tinuk Shenishba. He doesn't believe in Hashem. Anything good he did was not really good, because the only good a Jew believes in is doing the will of Hashem. I'm sorry, we have to say this very clearly. A Jew only has the will of Hashem. Someone that doesn't believe in Hashem and is not doing the will of Hashem is only doing self-interest. It's not good. He has a cheshbon. And when his cheshbon is that his self-interest, if you need a raya, so when his self-interest went the other way, so then he did the biggest evil perpetrated upon the Jewish people by a Jew since Josephus, if Josephus was a traitor. It's not so clear. He's a very unclear figure in history. But if Josephus was the traitor that some historians believe he was, I don't know if since then a Jew ever did as much damage to the Jewish people as he did and was suffering from it today. So that's because it was never good. It was always self-interest. Whether it was kavod, or to get ahead, or to be on top, whatever it is. Whatever it is. So, that's even, A, it's also to praise an apikaris. B, an apikaris doesn't do anything good. Because good, as a Jew's definition of good, has to be said very clearly. I can give a lot of tzedakah to poor people, and I could be a philanthropist, and I could do chesed a whole day. If I don't believe in Hashem, it's zero. Not it's only a little good. It's zero. We don't know of any good other than the will of Hashem. There is no other good. B, it's self-interest. If he doesn't believe in Hashem, then he's doing it for some self-interest. So why is it good? If his self-interest would go the other way, he would do the other way. As we see, proof positive in this person, Russia, who was a Russia even when he did quote unquote good, so then he did the worst, terrible. I can't even think about it. It makes me cry what he did to the Klal Yisrael, because his self-interest went the other way anyway. But people gave him kavod. From people gave him kavod because they wanted to dip into his pocket. You're not allowed to give kavod to an apikairos. You're not allowed to. It's not a joke. Judaism is not a joke. It's real. You know, it's also absolutely also to give cover to an apikairos. A person doesn't believe in Hashem. I'm talking about a machal Shabbos. We got cheshbonos because he does mitzvahs and he does aneiros. So, you know, we weigh it. And maybe it's a tinnish and ishbon, maybe not. Someone doesn't believe in Hashem. What's Yiddishkeit about? Shar HaYichud is the first shar. If you don't climb onto Shar HaYichud, then you can't have bitachon, and you can't have bechina, and you can't have avodas alokim. You can't have anything. Judaism rises and falls upon belief in God. This girl, I once sent around to the shul, this girl tried to be frum for 2 weeks, a college girl. She's going to be frum for 2 weeks. And she liked it, she liked tzniyas, and she liked making brachas, and she liked eating kosher, and then she said all the good things that is the frum experience. So I sent it around to the shul that they should see that, and say, hey, you know, maybe we're doing something right here. But I sent it around with a cautionary note. Anything she did is meaningless. She doesn't believe in Hashem. She could have gone skiing in Switzerland, but she decided to do this. It really ultimately is valueless. Valueless. I'm sorry, you have to hear it. Someone that gives tzedakah and doesn't believe in Hashem, it has no value, no redeeming social value. You could say if he doesn't intend to do a mitzvah, but he believes in Hashem. He has a connection. He's a Jew and he believes in God. Now he doesn't know Torah and mitzvahs. He doesn't care. He doesn't connect to that at all. And he gives charity. That person will get schar. Hashem will give him schar because there's a connection. He's Jewish. One doesn't believe in Hashem is rejecting what Avraham Avinu is rejecting. Avraham Avinu. He's not Jew. He's technically, halachically Jewish. Okay? I'll grant him that. I don't know. I don't believe the Lubavitchers should, as much as I love Lubavitch and I think they're great, I don't think they should be putting on tefillin on people that don't believe in Hashem. They should be putting on tefillin on people that believe in Hashem and they're not interested in doing mitzvahs. I think that's a wonderful thing. The Satmar, obviously, Satmar Rebbe held very much not like that. Who are you putting on tefillin on? An Oichel Nevelus, a Treifus? Okay, I'm on the Babish side. But if they do it, the people who don't believe in Hashem, okay, then they don't, so fine. So I'm not attacking the mitzvah tanks. I have to be foolish to do that. Attack a tank for. But I'm speaking out, though, if they would know a person doesn't believe in Hashem, I would say, how can you, what's the point of putting a tefillin on him? He's not connected. Believing in Hashem is not keeping Shabbos. It's not eating kosher. It's our identity. It's the identity of a Jew. It's not like a mitzvah. God, that there's machlekes Ramban, if it's a mitzvah. But it's who we are. It's our identity. Yeah. Fine. You want to be Makar of them. That's wonderful. That's fine. I don't have any issues with that. But I'm just saying, it's also to praise and not be curious. It's also to...
Is it right to castigate him after
he's gone, though? It's a mitzvah, not right. It's a mitzvah. It's a good thing they didn't put me up there to give a hesped. I'd be sitting in jail now. I'd be sitting in jail for 10 years. I really wanted to go to him when he was lying in state so I could spit on his coffin. But it just wasn't worth it. The years in jail, it just low kedai. You know, one spit versus, they throw me in jail and throw away the key. They won't put a murderer in jail, a terrorist in jail. But the guy that would spit on his coffin, oh, you better believe, jail, the work. So it just wasn't kedai. But a firm person should praise him. Anyway, so why did the people give him covet? Because they wanted his money, they wanted things from him. They wanted electricity hooked up. So I'm not saying it's also, you know, so was that really covet, you know? Begin said about him, he didn't make him defense minister. He said, if he ever becomes defense minister, he'll surround the Knesset with tanks, which is essentially what he did. The way he worked Gush Katif, that's basically what he did. He just forced everyone to do it. He just bulldozed it. He called him a bulldozer. That's what he did. He harmed the Jewish people, and that's why he was in the Kafakela for 8 years. Mm-hmm. No question. How could a Jew deny Hashkocha Pratis? And they died exactly 10 years to the day after they announced this plan. Maybe to the minute, because they announced it, the news report that announced it on Yud Shvat 10 years ago was timed 1:58 p.m. and they announced his time of death as 2 p.m. So it's pretty close to the minute.
Why did he change like that?
He doesn't believe in Hashem. Listen, when you don't believe in Hashem, everything is self-interest. There's no morality without Hashem. There's no nothing without Hashem. So you shouldn't be surprised. Today you could be the best person in the world, quote unquote. But it's all self-interest if you don't believe in a God. So tomorrow your self-interest is somewhere else. So I didn't change. I'm always doing self-interest.
But what about that you're supposed to give kavod to another?
That doesn't believe in Hashem? Who said? The Gemara, the excellent question, and I'll give you an excellent answer. The Gemara says in Brachos that the reason you give kavod to Goyish and Malachim is so that you should learn what it means, Malchus. So that you should have an inkling of Hashem. And you should be able, when you say Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed, if all you know is democracy, and you never saw a Melech or heard of a Melech, and you were never in England, and you never saw the changing of the God, you know, when they have to go to the Queen of England to get knighted or whatever they get there, you think Shemona Esrei is hard? They teach you where to walk and what to say and how to curtsy, whatever that word is, and you don't talk and say these words, and you are, boy, oh boy, you think halachas are strict. So you have a taste and a feeling of Malchus, so that it says it in the Gemara, so that the next time you say Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed or Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, most people are just saying words. We don't know what Malchus is. You give respect to a guy, king, you see kingdom, you see that guy that Schweitzer that became a ger, He described how people would have to ask bakashos from his father, the king. He said, "You masadish vacho." First you say, "Oh king, you're the greatest, you're wonderful." That's the sidra of malchus is masadish vacho v'achakach mispalel, and then you make your bakasha, and then you back out backwards and you say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And then that's so. Why is one answering that way? They learned. So that's how we have a picture of a melech. Yeah, that's another reason why, right. So, because there are reasons. So it was a very good question, and there are very specific, clear answers in the Gemara. Okay, anyway, so that's why people, so Yudala Katzchus, people gave him covered, even though it's also too, but they want the money. So the Chavis Lavavah says they're foolish, they would have gotten what they were going to get anyway. Or they didn't get it anyway. Those people, say names, that were promised 10 million shkolim, the things, so they went along with this avla's like a ridiculously weak word, with this tragedy, what they did. So they went along. They didn't get the 10 million shkolim, so they didn't get it anyway. So all they got is this avera of mesira meiser. That's all they got. Okay. Anyway, you know who has kavod of self respect. It was people who roi ba'aviron l'kavod habori yisala. This is a very major yisod, and it's a very deep idea. K'moshe kosov ki mechabdai achabed. And this is the idea, Hashem says in Shmuel, ki mechabdai achabed. What does that mean? Although this just casually throws in 3-4 words here to explain it. And this is really also the idea in Pirkei Avos. Seizeu mechubed ha-mechabed es-habrios. As I said, kavod is not what people give you kavod. First of all, it doesn't do anything for you. It's just, if people have a perception that I'm learned or this, and they stand up, I am who I am. So I feel good about the kavod. It's silly. Second of all, they don't even mean it. They're mocking. They're mocking.
Why would people be mocking?
I don't know. Whoever I give kavod to, I mock. In my heart. Oh, not everybody. Not you. You know what I mean? When the rich guy comes and they make a big thing and they name the shahr after him and they make him a party and they give him the guest of honor, 3/4 of the people are laughing at the guy. Because he's not really worthy of respect. They just want to pick his pocket. The real Adam Mechubot, says the Chavis HaLavas, the real Kavod, the Neshama is called Kavod, is when you use your talents to be Mechabed Hashem. You use your qualities and your talents. The Kohen, this is the absurdity of Bnei Eli. If you learn Shmuel, they were Kohanim. The Kohen, you have to be Mechabed. Why? Because he's a servant of Hashem. They violated the Kohuna, right? They took the Karbonos, they did bad things to the Kohuna. Wouldn't say for Shmuel. So that's what Shmuel says to them. He says when he was given the Nevuah from Hashem, ki mechabdei achabed. You know, you don't have kavod. The kavod of a kohen is not coming from his kohen can be an amoretz. A kohen can be not a good person, but you have to give him the kavod of kohuna, because the kohuna, a kohen is mesharis Hashem. The real kavod is, I am worthy of kavod when I have my own. What dignifies me is the degree to which I serve Hashem. That's what dignifies me, and that's my self-respect comes from that, and that's inside of me. That's not from others. That's not others giving me. Ki mechabdai achabed. What do you think Hashem's saying? Hey, you give me kavod, I'll give you kavod. Deal? Let's shake on it. No. He's saying the kavod that we have is in our kishkes, in our insides, is in our pnimius. Our kavod is from being mechabed Hashem. So he says that not what other people give me. So the whole thing is foolish. So the person that wants to be rich because he wants kavod is A, going to get fake kavod. B, is not even deserving of kavod. It could be that if, again, so that's that's how you have to look at it. If Hashem wants the person to have kavod, because that's in Shemayim, he's supposed to get kavod, so then Hashem gives him money, and he has bechira to give tzedakah, and hopefully he'll get real kavod, not mocking kavod, because he is deserving of kavod if he uses his money correctly, if he uses his money to serve Hashem. Then he's in the category of ki mechabdai achabed. Then he's being mechabed Hashem. That's where your self-dignity comes from. If you recognize people's worth, you recognize everybody as an individual, you have a good sense of kavod habrios, because they're b'tzelem elokim, and Hashem wants you to be mechabed the brios, right? It all gets traced back to Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants you to be mechabed the brios, they're b'tzelem elokim, and there's a concept, we see it all over in the Gemara, we see in the Gemara often, the concept of kavod habrios, because they're b'tzelem elokim, and this kavod you give to a guy too, because he's b'tzelem elokim, because that's what Hashem wants. So then, it's deserving, and if Hashem wants a person to get kavod, he'll make him maybe a melech, he'll make him an usher. But the point is, if it's fake kavod, so he's getting nothing. He's getting mocked. So the usher that Hashem wants to give true kavod to will use his money, and his motivation will not be the kavod, because that's a fake kavod. The motivation will be, I want to give tzedakah. I want to, Hashem, like the Chavis Abodah said in the Hakdama, in the Psicha to Shara Bitachon, he said if a person has money, it's a tremendous responsibility to use it wisely. And Hashem only really gave it to him as a banker. And he's supposed to use the money wisely to give tzedakah, achmasos orchim, kamilas chasadim, supporting Torah, all the things that you can do with money. Then he's taka deserving of respect mitzad the people. How he should handle it? I don't know. That's a tremendous nisayon. Let me tell you, people stand up and walk into the room, right? Why? Because I have a job as a rabbi. I have a job. If I wouldn't have the job, then they wouldn't stand up for me. So they're standing up for the job, for the contract. I should just waive the contract. Second of all.
Nachman was an example.
What? Nachman. Right? Yeah, fine. There are people. There are wonderful people in the world. There are people that deserve kavod, because that's deserved kavod, and you can be sure that he didn't do it in order to get kavod. He did it in order to serve Hashem. So then we apply the pasuk, ki mechabdai achabed. Hashem channels kavod, because then it's real kavod. It's not a way to pick the guy's pocket. And it's not that you're mocking him, and it's not stam phony because he's the same person he was yesterday. He's not. He's doing mitzvahs. He's doing good things with his money or with talents. It doesn't have to be money. With talents, someone with a good voice, right? So if he uses it the right way, he deserves kavod. Ki mechabdei achabei. But that's the real kavod. Umetnei shesachlu amei haaretz, but the amei haaretz give kavod balei amamon besibus hakavod. Because they want money. Hosef lemabore sichlus besibus bakshusam. Now he's going back to bitachon, and he's making the following point. And this applies also to the person that wants wealth. He wants more. He wants things. He wants to be wealthy. So he does what he thinks is ishtadlus for more money. He's saying it's foolish. Like that's. There's a bigger sin than being a Rasha, and that's to be foolish. And being foolish, he would get the money anyway, or he's not going to get the money anyway. So he's just wasting his time. Again, it doesn't mean everybody that works more than the substances level is wasting their time. There could be other reasons to do it. You're helping people. People are clamoring for your services. Or I would imagine a person theoretically could say, Hashem, I want to earn money in order to give tzedakah. I don't know if that person ever existed. But if someone would come and say, I want to do what ostensibly gives more money because I want to give tzedakah, so maybe Hashem will smile kindly at him and let him have the money because he's going to do good works with it. But that's That's rare. Very rare. Anyway, so you're saying it's foolish because v'naflu b'hishtadlus gedolo, you end up spending all that energy. You made a big dinner, you made balloons, you made a video telling the guy's life, you know, what they do at dinners. V'yagia rabba kol yemehem. So again, if the person deserves kavod because he gives tzedakah for the right reasons, then you have to, I don't know if you have to make a video, but you have to be mechabed him. That's our responsibility. He has a tremendous nisayon. Not only is it foolish, here's the problem. There's two things. Okay, I work 5 extra hours because I want to earn an extra $20,000 a year. I don't know, I'm just making up numbers. So, A, it's foolish, says the Chavis Halvavis. Again, assuming I won't get fired and assuming, you know, assuming all those things. So, A, I'm foolish, and B, I'm doing a big avla. Because maybe with those 5 hours, I should have done something more spiritual. Should have devoted myself. Again, a man, I can always say, shouldn't be learning Torah. A woman, maybe she should be involved in chesed, maybe pay more attention to the people in the community that need chizuk and need help and need various things. So, A, it's foolish, and B, you could have done something more productive with your time, so you're doing something wrong. You know, it's foolish, it's foolish. So a person could say, okay, I'm foolish. So I'm foolish. So shoot me. But at least I kept myself busy. I had what to do. So I'm foolish. I worked for nothing. I would have had the money anyway. I firmly believe that. Let's say. It's not even true, but let's say. I sincerely believe that. But I kept busy. You know, I didn't have what else to do. But that's not true. You already have what else to do. Tzarchei amcha merubim. There's plenty of things to do. Could have helped me, but that's what he said. V'inichu mashayu chayovin lishtadl bo ulamar heilov. Mehashlim cholos haboria sharaleim, their obligations to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lahodos al tovosov etzlam. This is what he always throws in, because this is the Chavis Halvavis's basic theme throughout the whole Sefer, that our obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a manifestation of Hakaras HaTov for all the good that he bestows upon us. So he throws that in. Lahodos al tovosov etzlam. And then, they're more likely to get what they want. Hashem says, here's a good person. Let's say it's not, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah. You know, Hashem has to decide how much money he's going to have this year. So if he's if he or she is a person that makes the most productive spiritual use of their time, so Hashem, they're more likely to get the extra money because Hashem trusts them. Than if there are people that just flail away, you know, working more because they think they'll get richer, and they don't, and that's what they spend their time with. Again, if that's the choice, then they're less likely. Hashem says, I can't trust this person with money. They're going to squander it. They're going to go out and do foolish things with it. So he says, ironically, you're pushing away the more money if you do the wrong hishtadlus, because you don't do hishtadlus to be wealthy. So he says, if you do it and you're wrong and you're making a more inappropriate use of your time, so you made the wrong choice, ironically, you're less likely to get what you want. Right? This is what he really talked about in the very beginning of Shaar HaBitachon, where Hashem says, if you don't have Bitachon and you think that Kochi Votzim Yodi, you're really pushing away Hashem's protection. And you're more likely to be mitachzev, to get, you know, if you say, Hashem, you know, I'll get back to you if I need you. But meanwhile, I'm going to try out for the job on my own, based on my own yicholas. You're more likely to fail. This is counterintuitive, right? Because people say, daven, yeah, I'll daven, you know, but. So, again, it gets complicated because there's hishtadlus you have to do. You can't go to a job interview and, you know, and not know what you're talking about and not be capable of doing the job and not be, you know, and not be up on the latest developments in that field. Right? This is all normal hishtadlus. So, again, this is part of the nesayon of bitachon, that you have to do the normal hishtadlus and realize that it's all coming from Hashem. But the person that does uncalled for hishtadlus, because that's what we're talking about, uncalled for hishtadlus. So based on the Chavis HaVodas in the beginning of Shara Bitochen, and he reiterates it here, ironically they're pushing away the Ezer Hashem, because Hashem says, hey, you want to be on your own? Fine, go ahead, be my guest. You want to trust in... 20 years ago, people said, oh, you trust in America. Well, you're flying in the sky to trust in Hashem. America's our ally. How could we go against America? So now it's 20 years later, 10 years later. And mitachzeif, that's what happens to every person that doesn't have bitachon. You do your normal hishtadlus, whatever that may be. It's not a simple... It's not a cut and dry. It's not like, how much flour do I need to take challah? So that we know. Down to the milliliter, whatever it is. Down to the cc. How much hishtadlus is too much? There's no answer. There's no answer. Every situation is different. Every person is different. And it's ultimately chalas halvavos. You know if you're relying on Hashem, or if you're relying on kolchi va'otzim yadi. And I told you a litmus test. If someone says, oh, but you have to do hishtadlus. So if you give a sigh of relief, you know you don't have bitachon. And if you say, oh, chaval, because I wanted to spend my whole day either doing mitzvahs or sleeping in bed, for that matter. And now I have to do hishtadlus, ach. So then you have bitachon. Then you have a good picture of bitachon, because then hishtadlus is just a pain in the neck, which Hashem wants us to do. But if you're relieved, you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Luna said it's mutter to do hishtadlus. So that means you really have bitachon in your kochi votsim yadi, because you're relieved that I gave you a heter, I gave you a pass. Okay.